Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The way it's being seen is that a Black woman voiced her grievance, and in response, she was told she wasn't good enough.
With just hours left of 2021, AEW's Tony Khan put out a tweet in response to comments made by former AEW star Big Swole. On the Swole World podcast, Big Swole addressed a lack of diversity in AEW, something that was subsequently vehemently denied by Tony Khan on social media. Khan mentioned multiple names of AEW talents before, in a rather bizarre twist, taking a personal shot at Big Swole herself before promoting that night's episode of AEW Rampage. William R. Washington is with me today. Will, along with Phil Lindsay and Righteous Reg, host Grapsody on Fightful, covering wrestling news and events through the lens of the black wrestling community. Will, you were planning to take the first week of 2022 off, weren't you?
We weren't going to come back till January 8th. We had, I don't even know what to do with this best of episode. It was originally going to be just some of our best moments from 2021. And I guess in a good way, I hadn't even finished it. I was like maybe three clips away from, you know, putting a stamp on it, exporting, and having that episode air on Saturday morning. And then it turned out I didn't have to.
The tweet in question, so it stems from an article published on Fightful. Like, as you said, Will, in the show on New Year's Day, a lot of truths ringing out in what Big Swole was saying about diversity in AEW.
Yeah, and a lot of her truths, more than anything else. And you know, yesterday on Grapsody, we talked about the fact that diversity is not necessarily the word I want to use in that regard, mainly because of the fact that what happened is what's going to happen when you bring up diversity, right? Because Tony Khan is a man of Pakistani descent. He is a person of color. He is a minority. And so, of course, when you say there's a lack of diversity, then all of a sudden that makes other minorities kind of come out and go, well, wait a minute, we don't agree with that. We see ourselves represented, and the person at the top is like, well, wait, I'm a minority. I see myself represented. I'm making sure I'm represented. So what are you talking about? I can agree with what she means here, is that she means more so Black representation, and that there's not a whole lot of Black representation at the table. There is Brandi Rhodes, who's behind the scenes and in a high up position, but for the most part, she doesn't see herself represented on screen as much. And she was talking about TV time. She's also talking about the women as well and how much time they get. And how they have to kind of fight for time and fight for storylines and come up with their own storylines. And, you know, one of the things I meant when I had retweeted the article, because I had said that there's a lot of truths here. She also had some other interesting stuff to say, right? She mentioned how there's, she mentioned the lack of writers in AEW and how, you know, that's mostly touted as a good thing. But she's like, but that only really in their scenario rewards the creative. But she's like, but if you aren't a person who's necessarily like, you're good at wrestling, but you're not good at talking, you kind of need somebody to write for you. And she's like, and her words were, closed mouths get fed. or closed mouths don't get fed. And she talked about how pretty much the most creative people in pro wrestling, the people who can come up with their own promos, do that kind of stuff, are the ones who get rewarded, and the ones who can't kind of fall behind in AEW. So when I retweeted it, I said there's a lot of truths here because there's a lot of stuff that people hadn't considered. But the main thing that got taken by Tony Khan and all of that was that he had the diversity line, really the line that was the headline of the article, which, you know, was a transcription from Big Swole's own podcast. And so that sparked a huge firestorm pretty much Friday night. It took over Friday night from the moment it happened. It was like, I could have sworn something else had happened earlier in the day, but none of it mattered after that. Once that got going.
When did you see the tweet in question, and what was your initial reaction to it?
Tony Khan's tweet?
Yeah, Tony's tweet.
Ooh.
Because you mentioned on Grapsody, and I'm not quoting anything extra because it's just what you said on Grapsody, that you'd spoke to Tony.
I had.
Before and after the tweet went out. So yes. what was going through your head when suddenly, da-ding, there it is. That's
as soon as I saw it, I thought, this is the story of the day. And
funny, in the UK, it was 18 minutes past midnight. We just sang Auld Lang Syne. And I was like, wow, 18 minutes into 2022. 18 minutes, and here we are. But yeah, you, as you say, this was, you knew straight away, this was the story. This was the
story. Yeah, I knew. I knew exactly as soon as I saw it. It actually, so I'm in multiple group chats, right? Because I have, I'm actually still in a group chat with all of my old co-hosts from RBR. But then I'm in a group chat with my co-host from Grapsody and all of them. And I'm in other group chats too, but all of them at the same time, we're like, what the hell? And it's like, man, I need all of us to just converge into one chat because this is this is not good. Yeah, I had spoken to Tony before and after. Yeah, we talked about the tweet and talked about kind of the issues around it. That's like I said, I'm not going to get, I said that on Grapsody, I'm not going to get into necessarily the details of the conversation itself. But you know, I gave him my perspective on things. I gave him my perspective on the tweet, and I gave him my perspective on the representation issue in itself. And of course, I invited him on Grapsody, and the invitation is still open. I did it multiple times. They said, hey, you know, you're more than welcome to come talk to us.
The show itself, so you guys, you, as we joked at the beginning, like, you were meant to be off for the first week of 2022. Mm-hmm. So with Grapsody and the way that you guys discuss so openly the black wrestling scene and the scene within the community, like, who made the decision to go, right, I know we were going to have time off, but we've got to get on this. We've got to do a show now.
I feel like the first person to say it was probably Reg in our group chat. But I will say that the viewers were also asking for it almost immediately. They were all, because I got asked maybe 2 hours beforehand. Somebody had tweeted at me, hey, is there a Grapsody tomorrow? And I had responded, well, no, but we do have something special planned for you. We're going to do this best of episode. There's going to be clips in between every single intro. We were going to do some special introductions. We were going to have guests introduced. It was going to be a cool thing. And I had responded with that, saying it'll be a special episode with some original content. And then those same people were basically like, I think you guys have to do an episode now. And Red just like, okay, I don't plan on sleeping in anymore tomorrow. What about you? And I said, yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be sleeping in either. And that Phil was the second one, and I said, okay, we got a show, let's do a show. We're on.
With your show is still relatively new to the podcasting world, but with that tweet saying, right, we'll get together, we'll do a show, we'll put something together, is there a pressure there?
Let me tell you, Tom, It's a good thing that my camera is from here up. I had pit stains on yesterday's episode. I was so, the pressure was so high with yesterday's or this past Saturday's Grapsity. There is a pressure. And I was talking with a friend about this, in that when we talked about launching Grapsity, one of the things we wanted to be was, we never said we wanted to be the voice in the Black wrestling community, because I don't believe there is a the voice. I do believe that there's multiple voices. That we just wanted to be one of them. But I also do recognize that in being one of them, that there is a responsibility that's come with that. When certain things happen with Black talent in pro wrestling, with both from and to Black talent in pro wrestling, yeah, there comes a responsibility to talk about it. And people want to hear from us on that. So there is pressure in that. That's not necessarily to say it's a bad thing. It just exists. And I'm not unhappy that it exists. By actually, if anything, I was taken aback after Grapsity ended this past week. I just kind of took a step back and finally went to sleep. I slept for like 6 hours after that and woke up when day one started. But I did take a step back and just took a look at it and thought, you know what? I'm glad we did that. I'm glad that we did discuss what we discussed. I'm glad we got to say what we said. I was shocked, as you could see on the show, was not prepared to interview Sean Dean at the time. Not to say I wasn't prepared to interview Sean Dean. I've met Sean Dean multiple times, as I showed the picture of him with my kids. And Sean Dean was scheduled to actually be on Grapsity with us in 2 weeks. But what I was not prepared for was, or 3 weeks, he's still going to be on the show in 3 weeks. But I was just not prepared to interview him about that topic right then and there. But it turned out really good. I'm glad we did.
Yeah. So for those, I think a few people discovered during your show as well, the nature of what Sean Dean does. It's not just a performer for AEW, but he's the extras coordinator for AEW. And
a lot of people know that because of the Sammy Guevara vlog, because it's one of his, that's character right. He plays on the Sammy Guevara vlog. But as he mentioned, a lot of people think that's just like a bit, that when he goes around, chastising extras, that's a bit. But it is a fact that it's because that's what he does. He scouts talent. He scouts the indies. He finds people to come in for AEW Dark. And we do know that AEW Dark has led to signings, and not just in AEW, as he mentioned, it's led to WWE signings. I forgot what Tesha Price's new name is in WWE. Now that she signed, she was just signed NXT last week. Fallon Henley.
I knew it was one of the Eagles.
I was like, I was just about to look it up and then it just hit me. Fallon Henley. But yeah, Tesha Price, right? She was from AEW Dark and she wrestled there for a whole year throughout the pandemic. And then all of a sudden is now signed. And that's one of those things where Sean Dean does play a role in bringing people into AEW, getting them noticed via Dark. And one of two things happens, or one of three things, I suppose. They get noticed by Vince, they get noticed by Tony, or they don't get noticed at all. And Sean Dean is the guy providing that platform, and he is a Black man doing so. Mm-hmm. And he is a Black man with his ear to the ground for Black talent. So I do think that it was an important guy to have on the show, and he is an important part of that discussion.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
One of the things that Sean said, he was concerned that the community would turn on AEW and he didn't want this to be sort of a moment where that happened. Do you think a tweet like the one that Tony put out has the capability to do that?
100%. Yes, it does. Because of the fact that the way it's being seen is that a Black woman voiced her grievance and in response she was told she wasn't good enough. And Black fans are seeing that as a personal slight. It is important to recognize that part of Big Swole's brand is that she's a part of the community, that she's one of the people. That is something that she has masterfully curated. It is something that a lot of other wrestlers don't have. She is very much a part of the community. She is somebody that tweets, even as an AEW wrestler, she would tweet about Raw as she was watching it because people wanted her opinion on things. She is seen as simply one of us. And so unlike a lot of other wrestlers, you could even say that about, I think Big Swole is somebody that people gravitate to and people see as a peer. And so when you attack Big Swole, it's like you've attacked the community. And so there is going to be a lot of healing that would have to be done with people surrounding Big Swole because of the fact that a lot of people are being seen as like crossing the picket line, right? A lot of Black talent have come out and said that, you know, there was Powerhouse Hobbs who said, hey, you know, I've never seen AEW like that because AEW has been there for me forever. They were there for me through the death of my mother. They were there for me. They gave me a million opportunities that I was not even remotely getting before. I see AEW as nothing but great. And, you know, Sean Dean talked about how, you know, he works behind the scenes and that he is working to make that representation happen. And then Leo Rush, you know, he was upset. And then I won't necessarily say he backtracked as much as he clarified because, you know, he was upset. He asked Tony Khan to apologize, more so demanded, and then tweeted the next day that, you know, to clarify, he was like, I never saw what Tony Khan did as racist. And I don't either. I will say that, and maybe I should have clarified this on Grapsity, I never necessarily saw it as racist as much as I saw it as disrespectful. And I think there is a, I think there is a distinction there. And I want people to know that I do very much see it that way. And I agree, or not so much agree, but I can see where Leo Rush is trying to clarify, but a lot of people aren't seeing it that way. They're seeing it. They think that Leo Rush was coerced into correcting. Whereas Leo Rush was trying to clarify that he knows what he wants to see change, but he doesn't necessarily see it as racist either.
One of the things that you said on Grapsity is that you compared what Big Swole talked about to being a Glassdoor review for a company.
Oh yeah.
and Tony Khan and you're very much like almost like the Walmart in this business. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't hear someone like we wouldn't hear Walmart bearing down on an employee who had stated their views in somewhere like Glassdoor. But Tony's always been, there's been a lot of conversations about the way that Tony Khan uses Twitter and in many different circumstances. Do you think this might lead to a sort of change for Tony?
I can't tell, to be honest. I can't say that this isn't like a successful formula. Like, it makes us angry, but also like Elon Musk is not making any less money. So I can't really say that this isn't a successful way to go about things. I wish I could, but for whatever reason, I can't. In that same regard, and I'm not necessarily saying that Tony is Elon Musk as much as Tony, and I said this on Grapsody, for the longest time was just a part of the wrestling community. Before he was running a wrestling company, he was a part of forums and message boards. And he would simply just post about shows he watched. And I think that in a lot of ways, he sees himself to this day still a part of the community. And in a lot of ways, he is. But in a lot of ways, he no longer is, in that he is now in a big, big, big position of power. And that there's a lot more weight that comes with his words before, as compared to before. In that, you know, it's kind of like the old Donald Trump thing, where when Donald Trump tweeted it in 2012, it's just some rich asshole. But when it's Donald Trump tweeting it in 2018, it's the president of the United States now. And there are consequences and actions that come with that. And I think that there is going to have to be a balance found between, him posting his opinion on talent, and posting his opinion on talent comes with weight now, because all of a sudden that has the weight of the second biggest booker in the United States of America, in the world right now. I can't even, my head wanted to go, well, there's Gato, but no, he's the second biggest booker in the world at the moment. And there's weight now with any opinion on talent.
This will no doubt be a conversation that continues on Grapsody on the Fightful podcast feed. Will, where can people get Grapsody? What's coming up in the next? Now, I guess now you're taking some time off in lieu, because you technically were meant to have New Year's Day off.
No.
I would say no days off. Some days off.
I will say props to Sean and Jimmy over at Fightful. They made good on what was supposed to be a week off for us. We're just going to keep on trucking, keep on continuing, because we will be back on Saturday, January 8th, with another episode that's going to air at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, youtube.com/Fightful. We've got special guest Montezy, who is the co-host of Swerve City podcast. He'll be on the show this week. Me and Phil are heading out to Terminus the week after. We'll get some content there. We've already pretty much set a lot of stuff up. And then we got some guests coming up through the month of February and end of January. I mentioned Sean Dean's coming back. He was always scheduled to be on the show, but just not then. we're going to be doing some fun, cool stuff. I do want to say that some of the criticism we got yesterday on the show is valid, and I do plan on addressing that as well.
Was some of the criticism that you had for the show?
One of the criticisms that we got was that in all of the conversation around what was said to and about a Black woman, there was no Black woman involved in the conversation about it. Fully agree. And that we should have. That's something that we are going to do better at going forward. That we do want to have, especially because there's so many around the community, around the wrestling community, so many great Black women who are making their voices heard. I think more than ever right now, there's so many great, talented Black women in professional wrestling media. And that on the topic yesterday, we should have done a better job of including their voices in it, in that conversation. And I want to, and I will. And that's that.
But that's great that you're in a position where you get feedback like that and you take it and you go, oh, let's be better. Because that's all we want to be in 2022. We all just want to be better, sir.
We do.
I love the fact that we keep finding ways, you and I, over the past several decades for our stars to align.
Keep connecting, yes.
It's great.
And I love to.
It's always a pleasure, mate. Thank you for being a part of the podcast today. Have a happy new year. Maybe a quiet one. Who knows?
I hope so. Thank you for having me, Tom.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.